Alright, time for another DoNotGood.com video presentation. In the Google is Evil background theme. Just another part of the corrupt and crappy and shitty world that the human beings have created because they have a, a lack of integrity as logicians. They can't put a few facts together correctly and come up with right answers. And they're wishful thinkers, and they're dupes and fools, and controlled by memes and advertisers and capitalists, and kept running the race, even though the race is not like some dignified horse race, which isn't very dignified, but compared to a rat race, so who said that first? That would be an interesting thing. So I'm going to play parts of two videos, Modern Mystic and I guess a Matt video, Thou Art That, does all this stupid white head, old philosophers, barely getting a clue kind of stuff, kind of a mess of philosophical ideas, in the sense that there's not a hard context. I would say for a modern human, there's a hard context to any thinking you're going to do. And it's called evolution. It's the fact, the big fat elephant fact in the room. And your head is almost forced up the elephant's butt. I mean, you just can't evade. The room is 9 by 9. The elephant is 8.8 by 8.8. You really can't help but be intimate. If you have any kind of brain at all, with the gigantic volume of facts that indicate that we evolved on this planet. That's what we did. We have an ancestor, okay, that was a fish. That's what it was. It was a fish. All right. And this is what we, it took a forever to even get to the fish part. And then things got really, really interesting, a million years ago when human beings started to figuring out how to do this talking thing. Making specific sounds, indicating specific actions or threats, eventually that developed into enough information that we could identify the world with those noises. We could tie words to facts and descriptions, definitions, and we had language. And it's sort of pointed this out before, but they try this with the great apes and they don't they get somewhere, but they don't get very far, in a sense, because the great ape doesn't quite get it. There's no trigger that happens, because they don't get quite enough words to figure out that this is the power of these gestures, is that each one represents a piece of the puzzle. And once you recognize that, that it's not just some vague, this is a good sound, this is a bad sound. It's a very specific sound, car versus dog versus bird. Every subject can get a little complicated, so let's not, make it too complicated. But that was the big change, the big thing. It wasn't that we got smarter. It's that we got more capable of communicating and therefore exchanging our intelligence, our knowledge. And then we could tell stories and do all kinds of things and, be able to maturate each other with a volume of information. And now it's gotten to a point where you have to go to school for 18 years and it's still not enough. I mean, realistically, you're just not going to be able to touch all the subjects that you can gain information on. So there's more information than you can shove in your brain. And, but I would argue that the elephant-sized pieces of information should be common to all people, and even that isn't accomplished, right? Because so many people are completely obsessed and distracted by their little rituals to their gods and blah, blah, blah. And you're almost saying that's so pathetic. You know, how can you even argue with people who are so pathetic that they fall for these little fables about, you know, how this preposterously crappy, shitty game you're playing, right, of life, where deserve will have nothing to do with it, you know, where, you know, there's just all kinds of shenanigans and crapola, and it's not even a rational test, you know, it's all tricks. You know, a rational test in that, oh, I'm an honorable and decent person, I'll try to do the right thing. It's so far from rewarding you for that, you know, in any practical way, that of course this wasn't invented by anything with a brain. It's clearly just a rat race. It's clearly just fish swimming around the coral reef, and they're barely organized as a school, and they barely do anything, you know, collectively, and they really don't. It really doesn't work. It's, you know, gigantic inefficiencies, ugly, horrible chance events, you know, bad, horrible things happen to good people kind of stuff. Just a lot of unnecessary grief and sadness. Now, how could somebody think this was invented by intelligence? So stupid. Anyway, so getting to the mystic. So he has a brain. He has absorbed a lot of information, but he thinks science says it's all a multiverse, imaginary, synthetic projection. Some sort of black hole projected it or something. Some sort of brain is dreaming this story. You know, creating these little animated monsters to go circle around, chasing each other for, you know, whatever energy they spill, you know, whatever dimes fall out of their pockets. And, yes, we're picking them up and, you know, doing our stupid little thing. And he thinks all that is somebody's dream or something's dream or some. I mean, it's just, what the fuck are you talking about? Ugh. Just the universe universing, all right? And what it started with was probably something really simple. A bangs into B and makes a sound. Boom. Yeah, that's it. And then, it just cascaded from some simple process, some simpler process. Just as we came from simpler fish and the fish came from simpler whatever, crawly, squirmy thingies, and you know, and then you know, you go back further and further, and you find something like a jellyfish or whatever, you know, something simpler and simpler in terms of getting more cellular and cellular, and then you figure out how the cell thing happened and the abiogenesis and the chemistry and blah blah blah, and yeah, before the chemistry was another kind of evolution. It's just evolution all the way down. You know, you're just like, wow. I really have to argue that. I have to explain why that's the preponderance of the facts indicates that that's what's going on. You know, and then you have to have in the context of, again, all the dreamers and hopers and wishers and bullshitters, you know, will contrive some kind of nonsense about how this happens all the time. This is what the, you know, the universe is just full of this insanely complicated stuff, when every indication is that it was incredibly improbable stuff. Only one time did a neuron happen, you know, only one time did a cell consume another cell and create a nucleic cell. You know, all of the events that were part of our evolutionary history that have no parallel. There's not another kind of thinking device except one that has a neuron. Yeah, that kind of thing. I'm sorry. There's a tedium to this. It's just so irritating. It's like being on some sort of assembly line, and you're just, oh, come on, I only have to put this together a few times, right, and you get it? I don't have to do this over and over and over and over and over and over again, do I? Oh, fuck. All right, so the mystic starts with Once Upon a Time in America. So I guess somebody referenced the movie, and I don't remember it, frankly, but it's one of these movies that shows people in different transitions through time. And, you know, the 1910s, 1930s, 1950s kind of thing, something like that. Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know exactly how that's relevant to anything, so I'll probably do some jumping through this. Yeah, so we'll just start here. Oh, I have to make sure the volumeter is the right position. The volumeter, turn that down. That should be okay. Prevent the echo and such.
The 1930s one is a logical continuation of the 1910 one.
And then he'll say that the 1950s one is not. That somewhere it goes off the rails and starts making up a fake story. But there's no good transition. No obvious this led to that. But he doesn't really sew any of that up into anything relevant, so we'll just skip over that.
From 1900 to 1930 and up into the 60s. But the jump between 30s and 60s is, it's just all a bit more difficult to believe.
Right, so whatever that even means. So we know this is just memes, right? It's like the 40s was more repressed than the 20s. Like the 20s was more like the 60s than the 40s. So, you know, it's like you travel in the, you know, it's not a straight line to get from one decade to the next in terms of memes and ideas. So in a sense, they went backwards into the 40s and then had to climb themselves back up a higher hill to get to the more liberal and unrepressed 60s. And it really wasn't the 60s, right? The beginning of the 60s was still pretty repressed. Oh my God, Elvis, you know, kill him. To, you know, a bunch of hippies dancing naked at Woodstock kind of thing. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll was winning. You know, then it won and did disco and Dr. Pepper. And then it went all kinds of south and did Reagan, Chinese city on a hill. Let's all become Borgs for the capitalist empire. You know, and, you know, and since then, it's just, you know, the technical age came, the nerds rule started ruling the world, and it became completely meaningless and mushy. And everybody just got lost in video games and eating pizza and what's up? You know, that became a thing. What's up? That's a thing now. What was a thing, you know, 15 years ago? I don't know, whatever the thing is now, you know, the Twitterism, you know, the just nothing, you know, everything got reduced almost to nothing in terms of we're back to just barfing little sounds and, you know, no substance, no, you know, no deep thoughts. Everything's just been reduced to sentences. You know, the paragraphs are gone, the stories are gone, you know, all the narratives are gone. I mean, it really is creepy. I mean, it was that kind of thing where you just kind of, ooh, I regret that I saw this. I didn't think the future would be this fucking ugly. Ew. It's really ugly. Really, really ugly. All right, anyway. Moving on.
And the way it finishes in an opium den.
Okay.
And the way the, it's kind of the last scene of the 30s is in an opium den.
Okay, so this opium crap. So he's implying that the movie could be viewed two different ways. The ending is, you know, it's a trick movie in the sense that you could think that the end of the 30s was really the end of the movie and that the 60s was just a dream induced by the opium and blah, 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 blah. Or you could believe that the 60s was some sort of next version of playing the game. And it had the same outcome. So everything ends in the same place. take your drugs so you don't know what the fuck's going on. Your painkiller, your escapism. Find your escape. So I guess they could have found the escape in religion or in some sort of modern philosophy, some sort of wooey nonsense. And I'd argue that he's done that. He's medicated himself out of reality by accepting some woo theory that science says reality isn't real. You know, time isn't something. It's not a real function in the universe. It's some sort of, and we it all doesn't matter. Everything's really happening all at once. It doesn't really matter whether it's happening in a sequence or it's happening at once. Or it's, I would argue, in a sense, it doesn't matter. Past, present, future, they're all going to be events. The events all add up to being a something. But the truth is that obviously what we say, how we function, will have everything to say about what the future will be. So that one's in our hands. We have complete control over the future. Us, the actors, we can reject, so to speak, the script, even though rejecting the script is part of the script. But the fact is that we can go through the motions of paying attention to logic instead of a bunch of wooey bullshit, blah, 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 and recognize our responsibility here as the most intelligent organism on the planet and realize that, oh, shit, we're running a meat grinder, that there's way, 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 way too much waste here. We got to clean this up and then just get the hell out of here, because this is way too dangerous to play with anyway. This feeling thing. Ew. Very dangerous. I will play a little bit more, and I guess we'll switch to a mat. The mat video is only 3 minutes, so how much damage could that do to us?
And the opium den scene is always the one from the 1930s. It's just shown at right at the start of the movie and at the end of the movie.
Okay, so yes, implying whatever that implies. I don't know what that could mean to anybody. I don't really care. A literal drug. I mean, taking a real drug is, what's the difference in a practical sense to taking anything that makes you dysfunction? So, a glass full of religion, a glass full of opium. What's the difference, right? So, these are very, the little memes now and then where they sort of, religion is the opiate of the masses. It's a real analogy, a real fact. And the irony or the funny part in this conversation is this guy thinks he's a science lover, when now you're just another religious kook.
An opium daydream of how life could have been.
Right. So, or how it could have been, how it should have been, how it would have been. Understanding what it is all you need to understand, that it's just a bunch of these little monsters. They're all selfish because the brain is in each one of them. And it has a self-interest in that it feels its pain. It doesn't feel somebody else's pain. Again, this whole problem would be solved if I felt everybody else's pain. If their jeopardy was my jeopardy, then all of a sudden it's a different ball game, because then I am going to do the right thing and I'm going to act in the interest of any brain in trouble, because I'm going to feel the practical effects of them getting into trouble. I'm going to feel the pain. The pain. And so we'd understand that is the enemy. We'd understand that every kid has to be highly educated, not just barely educated, that every bit of conscious experience is in fact precious, and that every bit of it has to be accounted for, and that you can't play this game that because I'm doing okay, everything's okay on earth, because I wasn't born with half a face and I've got slobber coming out of my face all the time. My eyeballs are crooked. I can't see straight. Because I'm not blighted by misery, hardship, that somehow everything's fine. Well, maybe it's not fine. Maybe it's a lot short of fine. Yeah. All right, so we'll go find the Matt video and play some of that. Just opposed to this babble, this mush, this woo. We'll listen to some other woo and just keep saying, what? These people aren't dumb. And they're just like, why are you making this more complicated than it needs to be? They're individual brains in a confined space. All right, they can do smart thinking. They can look over the maze, figure out the territory, all that kind of stuff. But they are still, by nature, selfish. They can be completely controlled by understanding. Oh, I get it. They can say that to themselves. Oh, I get it. Yeah, I don't win if somebody else loses. So I have to make games where everybody wins. It's got to be win-win, or it's not going to work. So every solution has to be win-win. It can't be I win, you lose, because that's got too much lose in it. Not that complicated. All right, back. All right. So I decided to do this 15-minute video instead, just because maybe it's more philosophical. I don't know what the other 3-minute video is. But, it has Whitehead's name in it, which, la 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 la. And he looks ridiculous. I mean, frankly, I'm just saying. I mean, so I'm sort of making the argument that we're evolved from bugs and we have way too many still inside of us. We have way too many bug genomes. But it's just kind of funny. I mean, because it's such a bug. That's somebody, he would wear that shirt. Somebody would actually wear that shirt. Yeah, whoa. Wow.
So,
that's where his mammy lives, Florida. So I guess he ended up back home. He was in California. He was in San Francisco for a long time. I thought he was still there, but I guess not.
I'm out here reading Whitehead's student lecture notes from his first couple of semesters at Harvard University in 1925 through 1927, and
right before the big one, the big crash. So all these observations are probably pretty stupid in the terms of if you went back and looked at what people were saying, in the whole decade before the boom of doom, before the reality check.
He starts lecturing just before giving public lectures that became Science in the Modern World, that was published in late October.
Oh, whatever. So it became Science in the Modern World, so I guess that was one of his books. Clearly, this guy wasn't much of a scientist, frankly.
October of 1925, I believe.
It's all this Gaia crap. Like, somehow the system is organizing in some sort of positive ways by nature, when clearly nature doesn't give a shit about any of that crap. Nature just says what worked circumstantially. It doesn't care whether you trip the adversary. It doesn't care where, you could extort him by, sticking a knife to his wife's head. You can cheat in the game in any way you wish in nature. And all that's going to matter in the end is that did it end up with you winning or losing. And that's all there is. There is no, did you play a good game? That has nothing to do with reality.
And so you get to read, Whitehead really in the act of thinking, working out these ideas with his...
So that's always, I would say that would be a horrifying thought, that somebody would try to figure out who I am by reading my notes. Probably not a good idea. You're not really going to get to the heart of it that way, because all of that is written to be as brief and as... pointed as possible, and there's just way too much detail left out.
Students, and, in a way, it's like, what...
Florida be ugly. what a shitty view. It's really a shitty view. Weeds. Miles and miles of weeds and stunty little, dehydratable trees.
What ends up in science in the modern world is like the results of a lot of creative, expression and searching and experimentation that went on in the classroom, captured by these student notes. But it's like you don't see.
Ooh, that's even worse if there were student notes. But whatever, who knows? All right, let's jump ahead and see if there's some sort of something about something other than note taking.
This is where I'm at. What did he mean by the individual and relational essences of eternal objects? And
Oh, who cares? So again, any idea that there's anything eternal about anything is just retarded. I mean, it's clearly the atoms are constantly going through the process of get yourself caught up in a system and then get the system breaks down and falls apart. It's all wheel creation, wheel destruction. It's all tornado, nothing, clear sky. It's always just this transitioning through these things, and there's just the idea of tornado. So yes, there's the idea of swirly human being created, but why would I in any way feel at all connected to any of that? Why would I feel... I mean, I could just show Matt's picture at the beginning again, with the giant sunglasses and the little whatever that shit is, and, Florida shirt. I mean, I'd say, what does that have to do with me? I mean, it's nothing connected to... I mean, it's almost like it's not the same animal, so what's the point? Why should I feel connected? Why should one tornado say, I'm just swirling just like that other tornado? No, that's a Category 5 tornado. You're a Category, 0.3. Not hardly the same thing. You're a water spout. We're so dissimilar in every essence of our detail that even though the original machine is the same, it's the same car, they're painted so many colors and they have so many shapes. Just imagine if they didn't have any rules about what a car looked like. People would be driving down the road in their little, it would actually look like a house or look like a boot. Their little boot car. Matt, play a little more.
To answer that question, we first have to understand what an eternal object is and why White had found it necessary to refer to these entities.
So this is like souls or something or whatever. So this is you could compare it to the Leibnizian physics of monads and solitons. But somehow we're built out of the essence of meaning and woo. No, we're just built out of atoms. And we're just like we're just like those little robotic vacuum cleaners coming off the assembly line, and they can each have little defects and little peculiarities. They don't let the processors get fucked up. So, but just imagine if the vacuum cleaner had to go to 18 years worth of school, and schools were all different, and the people in the schools were all different, and the teachers were all different, then all the vacuum cleaners would be all fucked up, and they'd all be working in a different, by different directions, and they'd bounce off the walls differently, and, make different sounds, and roll at different speeds, and, that's all we are. We're just robots. It's just that there's a very large amount of variety in what kind of robot we can be. All right, so we'll bounce back. Videos are on opposite ends of my 100 tabs. Anyway, all right, let's jump to here. See what we get.
I think we can look at life. It's just one way of looking at life, as in his life from the 1910s to the 1930s. As in its cause and effect, and it's all very realistic.
Okay, so he's using that as an analogy. He's not saying explicitly 1910 to 1930 was real and the rest of the universe was crap, so don't get confused by that. So he's just saying, is this idea of living, a mechanical world that we would call real, real enough, I mean, it's really happening, right? It's really happening. I don't know. I can't really put vocabulary together to describe it as not really happening. It's really happening. I mean, come on. It's about as real could be, I think. Well, anyway, let's just... And whatever the alternative is, which is somehow unreal and spiritual. But again, his definition of real is so fudgy because he's saying reality, just like science. So he's not saying like the scientist says life is real. He's saying the scientists say life isn't real. You know, science says. And so that's what makes it all so confusing, because he's turned the evolution argument upside down. I mean, the evolution argument was about recognizing the materiality, and that's all there is. There is no heaven, hell, there is no other story. There's just this story, and if it deserves going to have something to do with it, or if the decency of religion is to have something to do with it, we have to make it have something to do with it, because there's no other thing that's going to make it have something to do with it. So if we want a good world, we have to make it. And that almost caught that clue. Like the 60s, they almost caught that clue, and then somehow they took the shortcut to disco. It just went all downhill, right? I mean, it's like they went from this, got to here, and then all of a sudden John Travolta was born and the world went to shit.
And it is, in actuality, what it appears to be. Or is life.
Okay, so what it appears to be, I'm just saying from a scientific perspective, is first evolution, giant. Then you just say chemistry is the rest of it. Chemistry is active. There's 100 of these elements banging into each other, combining, mixing. You can make all kinds of variations, make big giant molecules. So that's the other evolution. What else is there? Time. Yeah, there's just time. All of this takes time. It takes time to bang in, and then it takes time to wait for another guy to show up after you hit and you combined. You have to wait until another thing. If it all happened at one time, then it couldn't mix. First, you have to make the oxide, then you have to make the trioxide, then you have to make the dioxide, cyanide oxide side. You have to make all these extra, you know, these events have to happen in sequence. So there has to be time, or there isn't any sequence. You know, that kind of thing.
The 1960s, as seen from the 1930s, in other words, life is just a hallucinogenic, drug-induced state.
It just doesn't make any sense. And why would I jump to such a wacky conclusion? Why would I jump to the conclusion that I'm a dream when first I know dreams don't have all this detail in them? And why would somebody dream all these characters? I mean, it's impossible to do anyway, right? One thing couldn't dream a bunch of characters. Characters dream. You know, eyeballs dream. You don't dream a bunch of eyeballs and a bunch of perspectives. You can switch from one identity to another identity, but you can't be both identities at the same time. Yeah, come on, it doesn't make any sense. What is that? Why is that? Why are you doing this to, why is this logical, why is this considered a logical sequence of conversation?
I obviously think it's more the drug-induced state, and...
So again, more a drug-induced state, when we can see that it's mechanical process. Okay, a brain forms, and it creates theater. In my brain has been created a screen. That's what I really see. I don't see the actual universe. I don't see what actually is. I see a representation of it projected on a screen. So my brain is taking what comes in as sense data, and it's putting it on a textured screen. So the texture would be little feely bits. And, you know, to give it like a three-dimensionality sort of thing. So the seat rocks, the seat moves, the seat has little knives that poke, and the pokes can be deep, and I can get poked right in my little heart. So the seat is a little more complicated than just a usual theater seat. It's not just a vibrating seat. It's a little more complicated. But it's all being created in the brain. The brain is synthesizing the theater, and the brain synthesizes the projection. So both things are created by the brain. The brain is creating what you think is what you're watching. I'm watching and experiencing it, but it's all, you know, generated inside of my brain. The whole experience, the total experience happens in here. There's no connectedness. There's no other bit somewhere that comes in. There's no other plug but the plugs of its internal mechanism. So, but it's still a fact that I have, without knowledge of any of those bits, all I have is the I experience. That's all I have. I just have me in the theater saying I'm in a theater and I'm watching a screen and I'm feeling things. That's all I have. That's the only data. Okay. The rest of it all happens invisibly. The brain creating all of the simulation. But we know the simulation is meant to represent reality because the whole point of the simulation evolutionarily is to make it so we can see a tree and not walk into it. It's obviously the whole point of having the experience and having the learning process and doing all this stuff is just to make it possible for us to navigate the environment without getting stupidly killed, you know, stupidly destroyed, stupidly starved. It's all intended just to make us better at playing, get some food, you know, get some bitches, get some rest, you know, get all the things you need to maintain your existence long enough to, you know, plant some eggs and polish them and then drop dead. You know, just to fulfill a mechanical evolutionary purpose. That's all it's for. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's just a mechanism to make us function, to make us move our arms and legs and do certain things that will be conducive to us living longer and out-competing the other machines doing the same thing. We're all little vacuum cleaners, and the idea is that half the vacuum, there's not enough food for all the vacuum cleaners, not enough dirt. And so, you know, to survive, you have to steal more than your share. You have to steal somebody else's chair. You have to steal their dirt. Or you're going to be one of the ones who starve.
I can't go in backwards through all the thousands of videos I've made, but let's just pull out of two or three.
Yeah, and it's a theme I just don't understand, haven't understood from the beginning. I mean, you did call yourself the modern mystic, so clearly this means something to you, some sort of notion of combining these old ideas of meaning, life having some kind of contextual meaning, you know, with the science, and it's a terrible combination.
What are now understood to be normal? I'm struggling not to say the word scientific, but I'll say the word scientific.
See, there we go. You know, so, and this isn't really rudimentary or elemental scientific. You know, the rudimentary and elemental scientific would be how ordered the universe is, how precise it is, how there's no room for irregularity, the energy conservation part, the idea that it's, you know, everything is meticulously or driven, okay, to certain ends. And it's all this modern contextual science that has perverted it into everything's a wooey-ton and everything's floating around in some unknown space and it can turn out all kinds of different ways. It goes in, you know, one way into the thing and it doesn't really have anything to do with what it was, what it will be. Some kind of woo is thrown into it all in the modern physics. But clearly I can't separate myself from the context of my maturation, which through the 50s and 60s, and the very idea was that science was saving us from those kinds of wooey ideas. That science provided this idea that you could map it, you could map this universe, you could map the world, you could understand quite explicitly why everything did exactly, why does a snake peel its skin, why does this, why is that? You could answer every one of these questions with something other than because God said so. You know, because the wooey says so. Yeah. What? So they've turned randomness, which there can't even be, they've turned some notion of spontaneous, there's no such thing. All of these words have somehow become viable when what science was doing was grinding them into the dirt like a cigarette butt. They were destroying these bad ideas. And now science is somehow reviving them and blowing life back into them.
Scientific problems. As in, let's go with infinity being one of them.
So again, so what's the difference? What does infinity have to do with me at this moment in time sitting here contemplating meaning of existing? What the fuck's happening while I'm doing this existing thing? Is existing a good idea? Is it a bad idea? What should I do with my existence? Should I gather up stuff? Should I try to secure all my dirt? Should I try to vacuum? Or shall I spill my guts and give it to the poor, so to speak? Shall I leave my body to be eaten, and consumed? What's my role here? How do I optimize this purpose? How do we get the most orgasms out of it? How do we get the least stomach aches, whatever, anal spatter? How do we maximize the good bits and just get rid of all these negative bits? What the fuck does it, eternity or infinity or any of that fucking bullshit have to do with our dilemma? It just doesn't have a damn thing to do with it. Who cares? It just doesn't matter. And it clearly doesn't matter if you do the science thing. So if you pay any attention to Attenberg and all these people who go out in nature and blah, 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 any Darwin and the rest of it, they'll point out these, improbabilities. That neurons only happen once, that there's so many little aspects of the functionality that we have that is completely dependent on events that are so improbable that if you had an unimaginary, a huge number of Earths on one, it would be very rare that any of the Earths get past fish. That would be the highest form of life. Again, if you stopped evolution just in the ocean, what's your most intelligent organism? Like an octopus or something. If you don't count the mammals that went back into the water, you're stuck with a pretty dull evolutionary story. Not too good. Not very bright, anyway.
I haven't followed it enough for a long time to know what science quite thinks of infinity. We all have an idea of our...
So look, this is just this idea of the Big Bang. Who cares? It could have been the Big Bang, the Big Collapse, the Big Bang, the Big Collapse. I mean, all those questions. It just doesn't... How could it possibly make any difference? What the hell does that have to do with this dilemma? I mean, it just... it's like somebody watching a house fire and then thinking about, that's just chemistry, and those are little atoms, and the atoms are moving faster there at the origin, and they slow down as they get further away from the source, and blah, blah. What the fuck are you doing? It's a fire. Put it out.
Our thoughts go out and out and out, and infinity, how can it possibly go on forever? It doesn't.
Okay, so and how could it possibly be nothing? How could it be? All of it's inconceivable. So conceiving origins is going to get you into big trouble. But I will state that you can understand that the probability is, just as every stage of this has just been mechanical process, that it's just mechanical process. That it just happens that this is the way the universe is, by mechanical process. Function. This is what happens. This is what's possible. Too bad, I would argue, that's what was possible. But that it is. But nobody made it because it's rudimentary. It's so elemental. It's just matter and the laws of the functionality of the little tiny bits, the little bits of force and the little bits of matter, and they have rules. But that's all it is. It's just a simple mechanical process of puzzle piece making, and then the puzzle pieces are thrown into space, and when they hit each other just right, they connect, and you can make a complex pile of crap out of those little puzzle pieces. And because once in a while the image on the puzzle piece looks like Richard Nixon, that doesn't mean anything. It's not meaningful in any way. It just means that it's possible for it to get into an arrangement that is like awareness, consciousness. It can create mechanical arrangements that have this gooiness to them. But there's nothing gooey about it. It's a mechanical structure. Billions of cells are creating the theater. All right, we'll go back to the mat. All right, so we're back. We'll click here and see what's happening.
The key for Whitehead is that we seem to be capable of finite knowledge, finite truths, right, about the world.
So, capable of finite truths. So, so clearly we're capable of recognizing what matters and what doesn't matter. Clearly, you know, we can understand the trunk of the tree is more of an obstacle than the leaves of the tree. We know that the grass is the grass is the grass is the grass. We know there could be a snake in the grass. So we have to be, you know, we have to pay some attention, but we really don't have to care about what part is dead grass, what part's alive. We just have to look for the snaky thing or some other, you know, might be a threat, alligator or something. Maybe that's an alligator fence. Anyway, but clearly we can glean from a zillion little bits of information, right? I mean, right in front of us all the time is a zillion little sources of photonic, interaction. And we can glean, you know, from past experience, you know, we're triggered, you know, based on us understanding the difference between what's important, what's unimportant. Now, clearly what people think is important is usually has something to do with them, rather than seeing, ooh, there's a bug that needs a little help getting up that piece of grass. And if he doesn't get up that piece of grass, he's going to be killed. And so I have to go help the bug get up the piece of the grass. Why? Well, maybe that's not a good idea because the bug is actually, you know, a vicious, you know, degrader of the environment, and he'll sterilize a whole patch of ground and cause a whole bunch of other bugs terrible unpleasantness. But all of those bugs are reproducing, so in some sense it's a win. You know, kill them now once and then you don't have to kill them over and over again. You don't have to kill all their babies. So yeah, we can get out of that whole killing the baby thing if we just kill the adults and you know. So that's what it can lead to, is taking, you know, finding the parts that are important to what you're trying to do, which is say, how do I interact with this scenery in a positive way, you know, in the sense that the scenery will be better 10 years from now. So that's sort of how, if you're rationally living your life, you're just basically saying, I want to make it so it's a good place for feeling brains. Not just mine, but all the feeling brains, because I figured out that all the feeling brains are doing what my feeling brain is doing. And so if I care about my feeling brain being happy, I have to care about all the feeling brains being happy. So the idea is to leave this environment so 10 years from now, feeling brains are better off than they were 10 years ago. So that's not a complex idea. It's a finite idea. I mean, it's limited space it can exist in. It's just basically saying all there really is these experiences, and I just want to maximize experience. I want to fertilize the good feelings, the ones that are on the, oh, that's not a bad feeling side, versus the, ooh, that's a horrible feeling, let's not do that one again. So let's not do the, you know, having your brain eaten by maggots or something feeling, or the heart attack, or the this, or that. Let's try to get rid of all the really hard, nasty bits and try to maximize the bits that aren't so horrible. That's a stage of thinking about how to play the game. Now, I'd say once you've really gotten advanced, you're saying, how do I turn the game off? How do I unplug this pinball machine? Because it's just making a mess. But anyway, even if you don't get to that stage, you still have to... There's no logical escaping, in my opinion, the stage where you recognize your brain isn't special. I mean, that's not too hard to figure out as a finite fact of reality. Me, not special. Me, just same as robots. Robot, robot, robot. My welfare. Now, I might have special functions. I might flash nicer lights and do certain things better or whatever. But the essence of the quality of the existence isn't any different. I have a qualitative state of being. Everything else has a qualitative state of being. And the fact is that you have to always improve that state, and you have to prevent the bad things from happening. That's a finite understanding of our reality. Now, if I ruin it by throwing some kind of God theory into it, and some sort of my soul is a spirit floating through the universe, and then I'm fucking the story. I'm making a mess out of something really finite and simple.
Seem to be available to us. Otherwise, science, modern hypothetical deductive scientific reasoning.
It's so disgusting that he actually uses those words, you know, deductive reasoning, when that's not what he's doing. He's storytelling, he's mush making. You know, he's not mixing ingredients in any kind of rational way to make a proper cake. You know, he's sitting there making it up. What's fun? What'll be fun for people to think? Yeah. This is all bad medicine. This is the opiate for the dumbass masses.
Could not have been as effective and transformative.
Transformative. So this is all transformative and blah, 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 blah. So if we have all these big thoughts, if we embiggen the story and put, there's a soul in the tree and the Gaia is in control and it's whisking the cloud. Somehow it's a more watchable TV show. Is that all we're doing? Is we're just, you know, it's the rose-colored glasses. It's, you know, just take away any of the contrast and the hard bits and make it all soft and easy. It's such a lie. You know, to call that deductive reasoning, that's exactly the opposite. It's reductive escapism.
Of the world as it has been, right? And so the correspondence theory of truth, Whitehead thinks, is there to be contended with by metaphysicians hoping to explain the...
So this is just all more crap. Metaphysicians, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, human beings with a brain who think... I mean, yeah. So humans think, they try to deduce, figure out the world, and these morons come up with the answer of, I see a woo! There's a woo call! Another woo 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 woo! Three Stooges.
Possibility of things. The fact that we can have knowledge, finite knowledge of an infinite reality.
So whatever. Well, obviously we don't have any knowledge of the infinite reality beyond understanding the maze is made out of sheetrock. And we don't have to know about every chemical bond between the sheetrock, between the calcium molecules and the, I don't know what else is in sheetrock, silica. You know, we don't have to know every bond of every atom. We know it's a redundancy. We know that the grass is a redundancy. We know that most of the living organisms, all of them, are just doing this redundant process. Hatch from your egg, squiggle, 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 lay egg, die. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, it's a, you know, these are finite systems in terms of the systems are all finite. The atmosphere is made out of this convection, you know, the moisture going up and floating down and coming back down again. You know, they're finite systems, just redundant, reoccurring systems of behavior, of function.
Suggests to Whitehead, several things. One would be that there is a realm of entities, which...
A realm of entities! Oh, so it's really going to go south. A realm of entities. Oh, gremlins, pixies, fairy dust.
Do not require any particular actuality.
So they don't have to be real. Yay, and isn't that convenient that your fantasy characters don't have to be real and therefore nobody can figure out they don't exist? So perfect. Yes, let's make the pixies out of invisible mishmash. Yes, it's non-material. They're made out of un-antimatter.
In order to be themselves.
Oh, la la la. Oh, I didn't even know he was... This is so, you know, after 10 years of him being completely immersed in bullshit, this is the best he can do with it? Yeah, duh. Let's, yes, grassland and really bad poetry. Sorry, Matt, but this is just... You know, who the hell could listen to this crap? Except me. Alright, pause and go find the next piece of shit. Alright, so we're back. So maybe we'll make this a part two Earth kind of thing, because this could go on and on. Really
fit in with the natural small cause and effect world that we actually do live in.
So, you know, it's like we actually do live in, like there's something suspicious about that idea. So it's all the only, all we live in is a universe of mechanical processes. There can't be anything truly original or creative. You know, there can just be the mix of what banged into what, and it was all inevitably going to bang into it. I mean, my parents were inevitably going to bang into each other, and their parents inevitably banged into each other by a process, and every bit of their activity as individuals can be fully understood as being cause and effect, and it just happens that the two effects collided and created a new cause kind of an idea. But that's all there is. There's just mechanical process, and every action, every nuance of my functionality, every bit of it is a mechanical process. I don't create it, okay? It just reflexively happens because everything has been conditioned and controlled to behave that way, to react that way. All the triggers and all the guns are already pointing, and they can only fire bullets when the trigger's pulled, and it's all just a mechanical process.
Just put another one in, time, because Einstein, you could ask about infinity, and he would have been the man to give us some sort of an answer on what infinity might be, but he gave us an answer on what time might be, and he said it isn't.
So again, it's just kind of silly. What he said was, yeah, it isn't, but it's, you know, it's one hell of an illusion. But obviously it's not an illusion. I'm just saying that obviously the sequentialness requires a difference in time. You can't have a sequence of events happen all at the same time. I can't, it's completely illogical to say I'm going to mix three things, two things first and then the third thing, and to say that can happen all at the same time. That would be ludicrous. So I'm just saying that whatever Einstein's poetry is, it's just poetry. It's not a physical, actual description of reality. To say time doesn't exist would be retarded. To say functions don't exist, that is... something is so elemental. It's just a part of the physical, with the fact that it has to be made out of something. So the fact is that you do have stuff moving in the universe, and it always takes time to move that distance. There's nothing moving instantaneously, so everything has to wait for it to go the speed of light. The speed of light is essentially, instead of being very fast, is preposterously slow, because it allows the whole universe to lag along, you know, in this sequential manner. But there's no sequencing. There's no sequencing without time. So it's just, on its face, it would be stupid to say there's no such thing as time. Time is obviously a function. And it's a function because of the speed of the thing called force. The fact is, the forces are moving a set speed, and their set speed decides everything else has to move some slower speed. So the force moves the speed of light, the electrons and protons move something less, the atoms move something less than that, the molecules and the compounds move something less than that. The bigger the object gets, the slower it can move.
Okay, this is, I'm putting these things together just to say that our idea of what life is based on ideas, thoughts. But they've got big holes or question marks in them. Like,
okay, so what I'm going to argue is that, fuck no, come on, we figured out water's wet. You know, I mean, you know, it's time to, we can put this together. It's not that complicated, it's especially the evolution overlay makes it all visible. I mean, that just clears up all the diffraction. You know, it gets rid of all the noise. So it's like, you know, it's like those things where, you know, you can have something that, you know, some mechanism that's distorting, and you can just pop a filter in and it gets rid of all the distortion. It's like polarized sunglasses. It gets rid of all the glare and you can actually see the object, right? Where you couldn't see it through the glare before. That kind of thing. Okay, and so the evolution thing just, boom, it just clarifies the, you know, takes all the noise out of the image. It's telling you everything you need to know. All that you need to know is in that narrative of robot development on Earth.
Our nice, bright Mr. Einstein said time doesn't actually exist. We've got a space-time continuum, but that's a whole different thing. And then,
what do you mean? It's a whole different thing. Yeah, it's a whole nothing, a whole empty statement about how it functions. So it's just describing something by just, it's like saying gravity causes gravity. Yeah. Is that a great answer or what?
Don't want to go into relativity here.
So anyway, so this is just the tragedy of the wooey scientists. This is what they've done to reason. So we had this nice, again, like I said, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, the world's getting it. You know, it's moving to reality, you know. There was in my world, there was that sense of, you know, this obsession almost, mutual of all, Omaha's wild kingdom. I mean, there was all this stuff all of a sudden starts showing you what reality's doing in the real natural world. And it was a great, again, another overlay, this overlay onto our world. And we could see the rat race. And we could analyze that everything's just trapped in its rat race, its version of rat race, and how dismal and harsh and brutal and cruel. Now, yeah, Walt Disney was doing the other narrative, which is, let's watch the silly bear cubs, you know, raid the kitchen, you know, and, you know, it's all this little cartoon fun animal, cute animal shit, instead of this, you know, the tragedy that you got with the real story, which is, you know, 9 out of 10 of the little lion cubs are going to get horribly killed. You know, their stories are not going to be fun to watch because their real life is going to suck.
The third one, and the one that I've obviously worried at for all the time, getting on for 15 years of videos, is the whole I thing.
Right, and it's another so stupid. It's so there's no confusion, in my opinion. Once you get the term, I mean, okay, I'm using a term I invented, but once you do the me brain thing, once you recognize that everything I'm saying right now, okay, I'm saying my brain is making all this crap, It's saying all this shit. It sort of knows the theme that I'm supposed to argue. All of that crap. It all seems like, whoa, I just said that. I just did this. I did that. Well, I didn't know I was going to do that. I had a vague idea that I'm consciously aware that I'm in the process of making a video. I'm consciously aware of some obligations that are built out of that process. But the real process is just to explain. The brain's doing all of that. And frankly, like you, I'm watching the video and saying, what's he going to say next? What's he going to say next? What's he going to... And it's going to be as big a surprise to me in a sense. Well, I'm not going to be surprised because I know I'm not going to say, I love Jesus. I know that's not going to happen, okay? So you might think it's still possible, but I know that's not going to happen. So I know a vague idea of an agenda, but I have no idea exactly how it's going to come out. And that's all this is that we're just watching the robots. And frankly, your own robot, you're stuck watching it. You can't really make it do anything. You have to wait for it to do it. And then you say, shit, I did that. So you do something stupid and you go, fuck, what an asshole I am. You know, and then you do something smart and you say, gee, I'm pretty good. You know, I mean, that's all you can do is say, you know, is to have some commentary, but your brain is just commenting on its own comment. It's commenting on its own narrative. It's spewing this crap, but it's not spewing it out of nothing. It's spewing it out of the context of every adventure you've had in your life was a learning experience. And all of those learning experiences have triggered you in a certain way. And this is how your gun fires. Because they're pretty practiced. I'm practiced at this shooting this way. I'm not too good at shooting with my left hand. I'm better with my right hand. Okay, I catch bullets better with my left hand. Yeah. That kind of bullshit. But this isn't complicated.
As in one of my last videos, I said, look, you've got the choice whether you want to be a soul.
So this is what he's calling. So if you don't buy into his wooey verse, then you believe in souls, right? So as I'm pointing out, there's no souls in evolution. There's no a mechanical, cruel universe doesn't contain any souls. So it's not a religious theory in any way. So understanding our brain is just a robotic programmed function, but it's not in somebody else's brain. It's not synthesized. It's not imagined. It's not in some pre-existing structure. It's in a very crude universe of mechanical systems. Okay, there's forces, there's matter. The forces has the energy. It gives the energy to the matter. The matter moves with the energy until it stops moving because some other force going the opposite way stops it. I mean, this isn't that complicated. We don't need any woo structure at all. All right, well, maybe that's a good point to end on, because he's like saying, woo, believe in the woo. No, don't do that. Don't believe in the woo. It's evolution, stupid. Come on. Anyway, just physics and some chemistry, the end. Physics and some chemistry, the end. And it goes nowhere. It's just, you know, again, it's just making machines to go out into the world and suck up crap and then shit it, you know, and then reproduce and die. I mean, it's stupid. The whole thing is stupid. It doesn't have there's no good news here. There's just waste. But anyway, we'll... try again next time. So again, well, like I said, it might be worth finishing these two videos, so I'll try to do that during the week and such. So, till the next time, this has been a donotgod.com video production in the context of ephelism.com and ephelis.com also. And all of this the website is in progress. There's going to be a new one eventually. So maybe. It's in the process. Who knows? You know, if the process gets completed or finished, whatever. We'll see how it all goes. But there should be some changes. And hopefully we can make something new and innovative out of those changes. Something more interactive. Something more contributory. you know, more contributors, that kind of thing, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot, yeah. So, always remember, Google is evil, vote against it. Whenever you get a chance to say no to Google. No, no, no. Just say no to Google. It's worse than a bad drug. It's a silly, evil corporation. All right, till the next time. So.